Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here's your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. Now, live, this is Close Up Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. I am your host, Jim Masters, and we appreciate your tuning in to our broadcast today, and we do appreciate every time you take a moment or two to listen to our incredible special guest experts that we feature here exclusively on our broadcast series, CUTV News and CUTV News Radio. We always hear such great feedback from our audience, and they tell us that they learn and they connect with and they're engaged by and oftentimes inspired and empowered by the guests that we feature here on CUTV News. So we love to hear that feedback. And we're always seeking out and finding some of the most amazing people around the world who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. And somebody who is doing just that is Rosemary Urban Johnson of People and Cultures. Rosemary Urban Johnson is the founder of People and Cultures, a fully integrated global talent lifecycle services company that promotes self-awareness as the platform for its developmental training, coaching, and consulting programs. You know, for individuals and teams alike, really to be successful and well-balanced, both at work and personally, high levels of self-awareness combined with a desire for continuous self-improvement are essential attributes. Such individuals tend to make better leaders, employees, or business owners. Well, People and Cultures is all about helping people reach their highest potential, whatever that means for the individual. Rosemary says, passion is self-awareness. As a coach, leadership trainer, and organizational development consultant, she is really somebody who wants her clients to better understand that their unique qualities and attributes are really very important and they stand out, and that, you know, to be able to utilize those talents to lead more productive and fulfilling lives, she can show you how to do that. And not just at work, but of course be able to lead more productive and fulfilling lives personally as well. Rosemary believes that becoming more self-aware enables more possibilities for personal choice that can actually result in choosing more effective ways for responding to situations and challenges. And we all have to deal with situations and challenges in our lives. So wouldn't it be good to have the tools and the resources and the knowledge to know how to react, how to respond, and how to handle the situations and the challenges, the good times and the not so good times, and the confusing times that hit us, whether it is at work, play, or every aspect of our life. Well, again, Rosemary Urban Johnson is somebody who almost has a third eye. She's a great listener. She establishes trust, and she is somebody who has a wealth of very, very satisfied clients. And very excited to welcome her for the very first time to CUTV News Radio. This is part one of a two-part series with us here exclusively. Rosemary, thank you so much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio. It's a real honor and a pleasure to have you with us. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Jim, and thank you for that very nice introduction. And good morning, listeners. I'm very much looking forward today to sharing some of my insights and my experiences around the benefits and some of the challenges, actually, around self-awareness. I personally are a believer in life is about the journey and not the destination. And so in many ways, having that philosophy, that thinking, has helped me to be able to stand back and look at what I've done, how I've approached certain things. And I think in many ways that has helped me on my journey to seeing how the benefits of being more self-aware. The one thing I would say about self-aware is it's a constant journey. And even when we think we're fairly self-aware, when we're under pressure, when we're not, maybe not well, we've got a lot of things coming from every direction, that's when even our self-awareness can be challenged. And we can actually flip to our pressurized flip. But I'll talk more about that. So thank you again,
Absolutely.
Jim, and I'm looking forward to talking to you.
You are very, very welcome. Our audience might notice a wonderful sounding accent. You're originally from Australia, and I know you first started your business in Australia, and then you started again in Singapore, and then came to America and in Texas. So you're quite the world traveler, and you've had an opportunity to immerse yourself in various cultures, giving you a greater perspective on sort of the human condition. Like you said, life is about the journey, not the destination. I also know in doing my research and preparing for the show, Rosemary, that you really love helping people. And even if it's this, the smallest thing that you can do to help someone in some way, to get more balance, to see things differently, because there's a multicultural aspect to living and working in other countries and cultures, as you have done. So that gives you, if somebody is listening to our show right now and they're considering, you know, having themselves be a client of yours, you come from an incredible perspective, almost a global perspective. And that's how you get to appreciate differences, providing you are prepared to put yourself in others' shoes as you've done. So I'm talking about, you know, some of the destinations that you've been to, but what was your initial inspiration and your desire to want to help people, to want to actually do this kind of work where you're empowering and inspiring other people and actually helping them change their lives, oftentimes for the better, more fulfilling, happier, more successful people? Tell us about that, Rosemary.
Sure. Well, I certainly wouldn't say that I suddenly came into the world and had this notion that I was here to help people. I was probably just like a typical ordinary person that, you know, goes through the teenage years, notices certain strengths or certain interests that you have an interest in that help you in ways, guide you towards a certain career. So I would say probably the helping people piece really came more into my focus probably in my 30s. I would say in terms of the living in other countries, that necessitates a need if you're going to effectively and happily live in different cultures. It necessitates a need to be more self-aware for a start. And I think in doing that, a bit like the Romans, you know, the saying, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do, it more or less forces you in some ways. Well, if it doesn't force you, you're probably going to go back to your home country. But in some ways, it makes you step back and observe others and see how they're doing things, and then also to reflect on how you're approaching things. And so I think just in that sort of response and the actions and the reflections that were required of you, you start to generally just appreciate people more. I think also I am naturally I have a very high self-improvement, and I am actually naturally also a very helping and warm sort of person, and there's no right or wrong about that. That's just my natural style. So I think the helping side was there, but it's been, I think, in very many ways, my life's experiences, the fact that I am a high achiever, high energy, very adventurous, pretty much gives anything a go. So that's exposed me to a lot of different situations, some not so good, and so, when I say not so good, some maybe not so positive, and some that have worked for the better for being as courageous and open to adventure. So I think it's been largely the fact that I possess that natural helpfulness, but also the fact of having lived in other countries and then going through a journey in my career where I recognised certain qualities, which included this desire to help others in small ways, which is very much why I think over the last number of years, self-awareness has become my purpose in life. I'm not sure if that fully answers your question there.
Oh, it does, and it does it beautifully and eloquently, and it makes real sense, and it shows that you're a human being, meaning that you really have the ability to relate to your clients, which I think is what people are looking for. You and I were just talking about that before going live on the air. People are searching for purpose. They're searching for meaning. They're searching for something a little deeper in aspects of their lives. They might not show it on the outside. They may have a stoic appearance, but you know, there are a lot of people who are deep in looking for that connection, and they're looking to be more fulfilled and find ways to be happier on that journey as opposed to the destination. We seem to be in a culture right now where everything is about the destination. Then when you reach the destination, jump to the next destination. But it's really what you do, you know, that journey in between that really makes a difference. Let's talk about self-awareness and what that really is about and how, you know, the importance of self-awareness. As your phones ring off the hook and people want to work with you right away, as we can hear.
Yes, and
you've been on for 11 minutes and already everybody's knocking down your door, and that is really, really cool. Tell us about the work that you do with people and cultures, Rosemary, and how you incorporate self-awareness and the benefits of self-awareness in this context.
Okay. So basically, whenever I'm introducing a service, whether it's around coaching, career, whatever the career is, career planning, career transition, succession planning, whether it's in the cross-cultural training, diversity and inclusion, whether it's around a range of training programs, the whole talent aspect that I work around, I try to, if I can, influence the organization in terms of the importance of not just we're looking at recruiting or we're looking at succession planning in an organization. We're not just looking at the skills and experience, but we're also looking at those behavioral attributes that are much more difficult to quantify. And behavior is very much going to sit with the core competencies and the organizational culture in that organization. So whether it is, you know, introducing coaching or whether it's introducing behavioral profiling or whether it's looking at the dynamics in a team and what are the strengths of the team, the potential weaknesses, some factors, some skill gaps, some people gaps maybe. So I generally will try to steer the conversation around the organizational culture and the behavioral competencies and values of that organization. And so that enables me to link or to direct the conversation more around the importance of self-awareness. From a leadership perspective, self-awareness, it can sound a little bit of a word, not quite sure how the connotation is, but I can say that over the last 5 to 8 years, from my experience working in Asia and the US, particularly in Asia, I would say, but that there has been a lot of research and a lot of leadership information around the core competencies the main competencies required for emerging leaders. And resoundingly over this period, self-awareness has come out and very often is number one. So I talk a lot about, I try to introduce the self-awareness and also take away that fuzziness around it, but take it more to the practicalities of those core competencies of, let's talk in a leader's perspective of the importance of having very good rounded interpersonal skills, being a good leader, so having the leadership attributes, and also those achievements. And some of the traits that we don't necessarily connect with self-awareness are things like intuition. And like intuition is a very, very important trait that is if an individual has more self-awareness around and can actually draw on a little bit more of their intuition, this really helps to guide them in terms of the way they lead their people, the way they communicate with their people. And so that ultimately impacts their strategic direction and many other factors. So that's how I would introduce self-awareness in terms of my types of training programs. The other factor too is that it's also very, very important in cross-cultural training. It's actually an absolute, because without a self-awareness beyond yourself and my way is the only way, then to be able to have successful relationships with people from other cultures, working with teams and individuals remotely, it's very, very difficult.
Absolutely. It really, really is. Now, self-awareness doesn't just benefit people at work, even though it really is essential for leadership. Tell us about why it's important for leadership, self-awareness. And when we say self-awareness, we're not talking about being self-absorbed or the culture that we're in of all these selfies where it's just about me, 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 and not other people. Self-awareness is essential for leadership, but again, on top of that, it doesn't just benefit you in that situation. It's something you can bring home with you. It improves your family life, your friendships, relationships in general, right?
Absolutely. And I think probably the same benefits are pretty much the same benefits that impact self-awareness, having a greater level of self-awareness, which really is a life journey, by the way. It's not something that I think we just wake up one day and say, oh, we're self-aware now. It's something that we continually have to work at. We experience things in life where we recognize that, oh, we could have maybe responded to something different. So it's a process, it's a journey. But if we're talking about it, taking self-awareness back to our, you know, to our personal life, to our relationships, to, you know, with partners, with family members, friends, self-awareness, having more self-awareness helps us to be a lot more true to ourselves. We have a lot more healthy self-esteem, because what happens in the process is we recognize that we would benefit potentially from, say, being more assertive of what we want and need from others. Because very often there's people, and I'm sure some of our listeners will be able to relate to this, who tend to be very self-sacrificing, put others before themselves. And so there's a great benefit in learning to be able to know when to say no, to learn how to say no, and to be prepared to set personal boundaries that are important for a balance of power in relationships. But this is a little easier said than done. So it does take a certain amount of courage and a desire to self-grow. But in the process of self-growing oneself, you're also potentially helping the people that you're having relationships to grow as well, because you're broadening their horizons and you're helping them to see that actually by me saying, this is not going to work for me on this occasion, is there some other way we can approach this? By taking that sort of stance, it helps the other individuals to grow as well. And so along the journey, ultimately, much more successful and happy, much more happy relationships can evolve. So there are many aspects to that, and it can help, you know, partners, friends to be able to see that maybe I would be benefiting from reflecting a little bit more on those person's viewpoints. Or maybe because what tends to happen too, and I see this very often, and I think possibly some of the listeners can relate to this too, but I'm not so sure about across the whole of the US, but I do come across a lot of people, say in the state of Texas, who have a very strong avoidance for any sort of conflict or confrontation. And so what tends to happen there, and when I say tends to happen, I'm talking about very, very often, a very high percentage, is that because of this very strong desire or need to avoid the confrontation, other traits or other factors, other qualities such as being able to be assertive, being able to be direct, being able to express opinions, being able to enforce rules or follow or address a performance, they all become, I would say, victims or are paralyzed by this such strong underlying avoidance for any sort of conflict or confrontation. So when you can help people to see the benefits of developing a little bit more competence and having the courage and embracing on their self-improvement, you can really help them to have to lead much happier lives. But it's not necessarily easy, I can definitely say that, and that's from my own experience as well.
Right, exactly, which I think is, again, part of what is very special about you is that you incorporate all of your own personal experiences along with the professional experiences, which makes you well-rounded and easily relatable for your clients. You know, I see why this feeds you personally and professionally because, you know, why would you want to help other people? That's something that is really built within, something that you have that you're very, very good at. You know, and what would you say that in terms of the self-awareness, which is a major part of what you do, training, consulting programs, coaching, is it something that is easily taught, easily learned? If somebody is not in tune with or not familiar with it, is it something that they respond to quickly through your coaching, training, and consulting programs? Or is it something that really takes time for them to absorb and then apply?
Well, that's a very good question, actually, and a very interesting one. I would say that for individuals that have a high self-improvement naturally, self-awareness tends to sort of just hang on the end of that. They tend to get it, and it tends to be because of that desire to continuously self-improve. I can talk about that myself because I have a very high self-improvement myself. I believe that we can always be improving. We never know anything well enough. I mean, there's always other people's perspectives and other ways to try things and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that from that perspective, I've noticed over the years that people that tend to have those qualities of just that desire to self-improve tend to be able to relate to the whole self-awareness easier. But there is no right or wrong, of course, with that, because we're all unique, we're all different, and we also, some people will go through a period in their lives where self-improvement is important, but in other periods, there's other focuses. They may be having they're bringing up a family, they've gone through the undergraduate program, they've done their master's, they've done their 8 years of education, and now they're like, well, it's a bit of other time, so they don't value it as highly. But that doesn't mean they're not open to it, because they will, generally speaking, those types of individuals will very much be open to it. Self-awareness, though, when I do talk to a lot of people, particularly probably I'd say some of the boomers who have been very tied up in their careers and families and providing and that sort of era, that generation, a lot of people, it's a very interesting question, because you ask them to tell you about themselves, you know, what's important to them, what's unique to them, and so many people really have very little clue. And so it doesn't mean they're not interested, because actually, in fact, what I notice is they're very interested, but they're a little shocked that they don't know who they are or very little about themselves. So, so that's what I would say there about the self-awareness part.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's really what it's all about. It's about making conscious choices. No one really, you know, goes to work on purpose to do a poor job. It's really a team effort at all times, and you need to, you know, have effective leadership to accomplish what needs to be done. It's really the bottom line, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one of the very important things to mention here is that if we look at self-awareness as associated with self-image, and if we can break self-image down and say, okay, so we've got a self-image, and self-image actually is part of, there's two components to it. It's the key to the human personality, and it's well known that personality traits can be very difficult to change, right? But the combination of human personality and human behavior together actually equal the self-image. So if we can change our self-image, And that's going to come largely through being more self-aware. We can change the personality and the behaviour. So there is a tool that I've been using in my business for the last 11, 12 years now, which is actually which started me on this journey of self-awareness. I myself was in Singapore and was introduced to this tool in Hong Kong. And I was very surprised when I got my reports back that after living in Singapore for 18 months, I had a fairly low certain of my opinions, very much inconclusive, not expressing my opinions. And also I had a very low frank directness in my communication style, being highly diplomatic. What actually transpired from that was that I worked with a coach on a training program, and after about 10 minutes the penny just dropped, and I just recognized that I'd been so culturally sensitive, not wanting to offend in the Asian culture, in the Chinese culture in Singapore, that I basically had no voice in terms of expressing opinions, and I was not able to be direct. So I said, that's it. From here on end, I'm going to ask for permission. So I came up with my own development plan. And that's how I started writing and doing a lot of work now. I probably do maybe somewhere between 300 to 500 a year of customized individual development plans, just from coming into contact with this particular behavioral tool, improving myself from what I saw, and then over time developing my own proprietary customized individual development plans. So that's, I think I've lost probably
so
some
a,
of the...
A learning process for you as well. I mean, the
yes,
person
absolutely.
That even the coach gets coached, because you know you're a human being. So very interesting what you said about the Asian culture and wanting to be reserved and not necessarily rock the boat. And I can identify with that myself too, because as I mentioned prior to going on the air. I like balance and try to strive for balance, harmony, sort of a communal, everybody getting along or coming to the middle, and not always easy, especially in the world that we're in now.
Well, you know, the thing was more that I just didn't want to offend, because I recognize that the cultural differences in the way that you communicate in just about every aspect, whether you're Australian or American, it's very hard. But when I recognized that, I found a way to overcome that, and that's actually where I, through my own self-awareness, really went along this deep path of self-awareness.
Absolutely.
And then I actually built on that again as well about 6 years ago, and became certified in ontological coaching to actually build upon this behavioral tool to actually be able to help clients more in their self-awareness and growth.
And I know that the coaching philosophy that people and cultures promotes is really transformative rather than just transactional, holistically integrating language and body and emotions to provide those long-lasting results. And this self-awareness that we've been talking about on today's episode of CUTV News is really greatly enhanced through your approach, which, again, I think is a wonderful to enable greater personal choice to navigate those challenges that I talked about at the top of the show, which are achieved through that client designing sort of new and more effective ways for responding to the challenges, whether at work or personally. So it's incredible work that you do, and I want folks to be able to connect with you. You'll be back with us next week, and I know you'll have a special guest who will call in probably, or maybe hopefully we'll have somebody who you had an opportunity to work with, maybe who will hear the show and call in. We welcome folks to do that. But, folks, I invite you to go to the website to connect with our very special guest, Rosemary Urban Johnson of People and Cultures. Go to this website, peopleandculture.com. Again, that's peopleandculture.com. It's her website. It's an amazing place to start, to connect, and to help become more self-aware, and she can really help you do that. Rosemary, thanks for joining us on the show. We're pretty much wrapped up, but look forward to chatting with you next week on CUTV News Radio. Hope you enjoyed the show today as much as I did.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you, listeners, and I'm looking forward to talking again next week. Have a wonderful day.
We are it. You too. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us as well. I'm Jim Masters, host here at CUTV News Radio. For all of us here, have a great day.